Amen. What a day that's going to be. A day that there'll be no more night. There'll just be one eternal day. And the Son of God will be the light. There'll be no sun. There'll be no need of the sun. There'll be no need of time. There'll just be one eternal day living with God. Sin will be done away with. The curse will be done away with. And it'll just be paradise. Just be paradise. This is going to bother me if I don't say something. This is up here. I guess someone might have lost it. This looks like a bracelet of some sort. And if this is yours, it is up here on the pulpit. You can come get it after the service. That'll be up here. Normally, that's why those are up here, just to announce that someone found it. Don't know where it was found, but you can have that. If it's yours, if it's not yours, don't come get it. I think all of us are aware that I'm not Pastor Freeman. We didn't have any first-time visitors, so that means you've been here before, and you know Pastor Freeman. Their family is out of town on a much-needed time of just getaway, and they'll be gone this week, and be in prayer for them. They would be rested, and they'd just have a time of enjoyment with their family. So I'm preaching this morning. I thank God for the opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I have a burden this morning on my heart. I have a message prepared. I thought God wanted me to preach this morning. I prepared it. I believe God would have me preach that tonight. And I ask you, if you don't normally come on Sunday night, I pray that you would. I'm going to preach a message on how to have rest for your soul. How to have rest for your soul. God says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. But there's so many people that come to God and they have their burdens lifted, and they can rejoice in the fact that their burdens have been lifted and their sins are gone. And maybe a year, they'll be gone. No longer rejoicing, no longer excited, no longer serving God or in church. Why is that? I think it's because some people have a wrong idea, a misunderstanding on how you get that rest that God is saying, come to me and I'll give you that rest. And there's a message that I believe God would have me to preach that tonight, how to get that rest. Something we all want, right? I mean, think about rest. As a child, you remember when you were a child and they say, hey, go take a rest? You didn't want that. Go take a nap or whatever. You didn't want that. But that changes as you get a little older. That rest, that's something that we even had to make it a law at work, you know, that you would give people a rest instead of making them work for 8 hours straight. Otherwise, you know, your boss would want you to do it. But it's something that us as adults, we long for. Just give me a break. Give me a rest. Have you had your break today? I think that was a slogan for somebody. That's something that we look forward to, and I believe God would have me to preach that. But as I was studying and preparing, God directed me different this morning. I'm just going to preach from the heart. I believe as a warning from God. I don't know. I don't know everyone in here. I don't know what everyone's situation is. But I do know if God put this on my heart, it's for somebody. It's not for me to practice preaching or whatever. It's for somebody. It's a message. So I want to speak my heart, a message to somebody from God. I tried to think of what to title this. As I mentioned, I was preparing to preach something else and trying to get direction on what to preach tonight. But as God made it clear to preach this morning, I tried to figure out what I would title this message. And you might get where I'm going with this. I'm not 100% where I agree with this, but I'm preaching a message, so I give you the title that I wrote down, and it's The One Who's Already Lost. The One Who's Already Lost. Many, many times we read in the Bible about God's judgments, all through the Bible. I've been talking about it in Sunday school class. Those are in Sunday school class on the flood and the first few chapters of the Bible, we see a major judgment of God upon this earth. And that's not something we as people like to think about. We like thinking about, for God so loved the world. And he did. He does love the world. That's true. But there's more about God. A lot of times we think that God is love and God is only love. That's not true. We like 1 John 4:7 and 8, where the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And that's a message I love to preach. I love to tell people, because that's something we all need. We all desire love. And the fact of that there is a God in heaven that loves you. I love preaching that message, and it's a true message. God so loved the world. But there is a true message that God is the judge of the world also. When Abraham was talking with God, and God was telling him about how he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham questioned God, "Should not the judge of all the earth do right? You're the judge." And the answer is yes, he's going to do right. And the fact that he judges, that's right. When God judged the world in Noah's day, God was right. When God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, God was right. He does right. And all through the Bible, we read about God's judgments and God judging a people. God judged the world. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. God judged the Amalekites. God judged Moab. God judged so many times we read in the Bible. And when we get to Revelation, we're going to see how God's going to judge this world again. And the people of this world, God's judgments are going to come on the people of the world. And we've been studying about that with Pastor on Wednesday nights. If you've been coming several weeks, we've talked about, Pastor's preached on the Revelation. And we looked at the judgments of God upon the world. One of these judgments in particular that we're going to take a look at this morning, as I've read it several years ago, God, he makes it clear in there, but he pointed someone out in that judgment. As I read and I see how God judged this certain individual or a group of people, I think, God, they didn't have a chance. You pronounced a judgment on a large group of people, and you included this one person that I think he didn't have a chance. But God reminded me we all have a chance. He forfeited his chance. He missed his chance. And when the judgment came, he no longer had the chance then. We get a false belief that you can come to God your way, and in your time. That's a false belief, a lie of the devil. Those that of us are that are saved, you know that lie. You know that you ought to warn people, as the verse we read together earlier, now. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day. He's not promised to come back tomorrow. The devil will tell you tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. Do it next time. Holy Spirit of God is drawing you, saying, now. Now. Get saved now. Accept Jesus now. And the devil will say, just do it next time. You're not ready for that. You're not ready to change your life. And now let me tell you, you're not. Because you can't change your life. You can't do it. It's not until you get saved and God makes you and starts making you a new creature and starts working in your heart that Jesus Christ makes that change in your life. You can't do it, but the devil will keep telling you that because he's a liar. He's the father of it. But he'll tell you tomorrow, but for some people, and the person we're going to talk about in our study this morning, he didn't have a tomorrow. When the judgment of God was coming and God says, "You must do this or you'll be judged," he didn't have a chance because he missed it. If there's someone here this morning, and we talked about this earlier, if there's someone here this morning and you feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit in your heart telling you, now, now is the time. Now is the time to accept the grace of God. Now is the time to accept the mercy of God who's offering it to you, saying, come and unto me. We're going to be talking about that tonight. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you feel that drawing of the Holy Spirit, and you feel the Father in heaven drawing you and saying, now. Now is the time. Today's the day. Don't you walk out that door and think, I'll do it tomorrow. Not only are we not promised tomorrow, but if you did live tomorrow, there's no guarantee that the Father's going to draw you. And the Bible says, let's look at another verse in John chapter 6. This is a very, very important verse for people to know. John chapter 6. Verse 44. The Bible says, no man. But I can. The Bible says, no man. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I'm ready. I'll accept Christ on my time. And God sent me this morning with a warning. If someone in here has that thought, if someone in here says, I'll do it later, I believe. The devils believe too. Someone says, I'll do it later. I believe, and I believe that he's the only way to heaven, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later. The Bible, Jesus, here in John chapter 6, verse 44, says, no man, no man come unto me. It's that the Father which is in heaven that sent me, draw him. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I wish it was. I'd like to say that anybody can come at any time, just come to God and he'll take you. It's not true. If he's drawing you, come. And he'll in no wise cast out. But he draws everyone. But if you ever pass that drawing up and you ever say, I'll do it later, then you may end up like this person we're going to talk about today who's already lost. The time that maybe they would have, and we don't know, the Bible doesn't say. If you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, we don't know if he would have obeyed. We don't know if he would have done what God said. We don't know if he would have been saved or not. But we can clearly see he lost his chance. I don't plan on being long this morning. I don't have a lot of notes, a few verses I wrote down. I have a lot of notes for tonight. I might be long tonight. I don't know. So maybe, hopefully that doesn't turn you off from coming. But if God's drawing you, don't turn away. Exodus chapter 12, we see here a very familiar story, and just the background of what's going on. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. God raised up Moses to go to Egypt and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses went to Pharaoh and says, God said, let my people go. The Lord says what he said. Pharaoh asked the question, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I'm Pharaoh. Who's the Lord that I should obey him? Well, from that moment, God was showing who he was. He sent plagues. Plague after plague after plague after plague. And when he would send that plague, the Bible would say that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God hardened his heart. Pharaoh's not the one, if you're trying to guess, he's not the one I'm talking about this morning, but God would harden his heart so that he would change his mind. He would not let the people go so God can continue to show him, to show all of Egypt, that he was the Lord. He asked the question, who's the Lord? Well, you're about to find out, Pharaoh. All these other gods that you worship, and they were in Egypt, they worshiped all kinds of things. They worshiped, we know they worshiped the cow. That was the thing that when the children of Israel came out, they made that golden calf because that was something they learned out there down in Egypt. The cow, these be the gods that brought us out of Egypt. Well, what did God do with their cattle? Send them to moraine that they died. They worshiped the sun. What happened? God darkened that 3 days. They worshiped the river because that made the land fertile, and God turned the river into blood. You see, time after time, the plagues that God sent was showing these gods that you worship and you lift up and you think that they're protecting you and they think that they're blessing you, they're not God. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And so God brought all these plagues into Egypt, plague after plague after plague, attacking all their different gods. And God would harden Pharaoh's heart that he would continue to hold those people there to where God can bring his one and final judgment. And God knew it from the very beginning. He told Moses it was going to be this way. And then this was going to be the final plague. In chapter 11, verse 1, he says, the Lord said to Moses, yet will I bring one plague more. God says, this is it. This is what we've been working towards. And this final plague, I don't think anyone in here isn't familiar with it, but just in case, we know this was the plague that God was going to destroy the firstborn if they didn't obey God. God made a way that they could be spared, a way that they could be saved, a way that blood would not be shed in their home was that they would have to shed blood of a lamb. They would have to apply that blood of the lamb. And then God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass over. And so God gave them this plan, and he came to Moses there in chapter 12, and we'll start reading in verse number 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, you got to follow God's plan. Do it when God says it. In the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if a household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the on the upper doorpost of the house, on the two side posts, and on the upper doorpost of the house, wherein you shall eat it. And you shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat of it, eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And a plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This was God's plan, God's instructions, God's commandment. If you want to be saved, You do it my way. If they would have strayed in any way from that, they would have done anything different. God says, this is the way. This is how you do it. Like Jesus Christ in John chapter 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do it God's way. He had the plan. He told them exactly what to do. He told them to take the lamb without blemish in the first year and to hold it until the 14th day. And then they were to kill the lamb, to apply the blood. Very important. Very important. Just killing the lamb wouldn't have been enough. Right? And we understand that this is a picture. This is a picture of what Jesus Christ had done. The Lamb of God has been slain for us. The blood has been shed, but unless the blood is applied, it does you no good. It does you no good. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us off from all sin, but only if it's applied. It's only if it's applied. And so he said, apply it to the doorpost and to the top of the door. Apply that blood, and then you get inside that house, and then you eat that lamb, and you stay in that house. When I pass through, when I see the blood, I will pass over that house and would not execute the judgment in that house. We know this story, right? So they had instructions. We don't know. God doesn't tell every person, every family what they did. We do know that there were 600,000 men and their families that came out of Egypt that night. They came out because they were spared. They were sent out, but we know that the Bible says, and it goes on to say, that there was wailing and weeping all throughout the land of Egypt. That when they woke up that morning, the people, they looked, and in every house that did not have the blood, the firstborn was dead. Judgment had came. Judgment had came. It came through that land that night because they didn't do what God said. He says, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. But as you continue reading, and it talks about that it happened. The people did it. They followed what God said. This was the instructions of how it was going to be. But when it happened, the Bible says in verse 29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, just like he said. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon the throne, to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose in the night, and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. The judgment that came, the death that was executed on that land because of people that didn't obey. People that didn't obey. If you remember, I said what God brought to my attention several years ago was the one who already lost and didn't have a chance. Did you see it when we read the passage of Scripture? Did you see that one that could not do what God said to do? He was there. God pointed him out. God says, you had to do this. You had to take the blood and you had to sacrifice the lamb, and apply it to your house. And to go inside your house and to be in your house with your family and to eat that lamb and wait there. And God was going to pass over your house. But there was someone that was mentioned in the passage of Scripture we read that couldn't do it. And maybe he heard the order and he thought, well, I've already lost. I can't do it. Judgment's coming, and I can do nothing about it. Because he missed his chance. Do you see it? Let's look at that again, verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. You see it that time? He was captive. He was in the dungeon. How could he obey what God said? How could this man, it might have been many, how could this man go home, kill the lamb, apply the blood on his doorpost to spare his house? How could he do it? He couldn't. He might have heard the instructions. He might have heard the judgment was coming. He said, I've already lost. I've already lost. And it stood out to me. God, this man didn't have a chance, but God reminded me everyone's had a chance. He lost his chance. I don't know what put him in the dungeon, but I do know that God clearly pointed this man out. Why did God do that? Why did God point this person out? Because he could have mentioned everybody. But he says from Pharaoh's house to the man's house that was in the dungeon, the man that couldn't do it now, the man that couldn't obey it if he wanted to. He could have been there saying, I'll be good now. I'll do it now. I'll believe you now. But he couldn't. And God reminded me there's people all over this world that think, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And what they're doing is they're binding themselves. They're putting on themselves the feathers of the chains that God could have freed them. When time comes when they say, okay, God, I'm ready. No. The grace is gone. The drawing is gone. Your chance is gone. We've been studying about Noah in Sunday school class. One of the saddest things that I see there in that story of Noah, and if you're not familiar with it, I believe it. It's not a children's story to me. Noah and the Ark is not a children's story. We've been going through it and trying to do some study on it about Noah's Ark and about the animals and about the different things that could have took place. But one of the saddest things is when they went in and said, the Bible says God shut them in. We know that God says to put one door on there. But when they went in the Ark and God told them, come into the Ark, Noah. Come, thou and thy family, come into the Ark. When they did, God shut the door. God shut the door. Noah didn't shut it, which means Noah couldn't open it. If God shut the door, you think you're going to open it? Noah couldn't open the door. Neither could anyone else that was on the outside of that boat. But before God did that, and you can read this in Genesis, before God did that, before he shut the door, God told Noah, long before that, he told Noah, I'm going to bring judgment, build thee an ark, and he gave him all the dimensions of doing it. So Noah worked on that ark after the ark was finished, after everything was ready, and Noah's there, okay, God, I did what you said to do. Then God came to Noah and said, 7 days. In 7 days, the flood's coming. One more chance. Not for Noah. Noah did what God said. Noah was ready. Noah and his family, they were ready. What were those 7 days for? They were for the others. The mercy of God was extended one more time. The grace of God was extended one more time to those people to say, 7 days. In 7 days, I will bring the flood. I bet Noah went out. Hey, people, come on. Let's get on. The flood's coming. It's coming soon. Get on the ark. And these people probably laughed and said, you've been saying that for years, Noah. You've been saying that for years. Sitting there wasting all your time building that boat. Come on, guys. God's judgment is coming. It's coming soon. But when God shut that door, the windows of heaven were opened, the fountains of the great deep were broken loose, and the rains came and the floods came, I bet those people were knocking on the door. Those people were scratching on the door. The people were trying to claw and get in to a door that was shut by God. Because they didn't come when the invitation was come. Come. And they didn't. Now they tried to force their way in. Now they tried to break in where God shut the door. And there may be someone that maybe it's happened to you before and you didn't. You felt the drawing of God. You heard the call and you said, not now. But yet God's mercy says 7 days. One more chance. And he's got you here this morning. He made me change my sermon. This had me so worried this morning. I'll show you my notes. That's it. I was sitting there studying, preparing, and God says, now I need you to preach this. Why? Because God's saying to somebody, one last chance. One last chance. I'm extending the grace one more time. I'm sending the invitation one more time. I'm calling one more time, come. If you turn away, this may be it. This may be it. When that judgment comes, you could be like that man sitting in the dungeon with his hands chained saying, I can't do it now. I have zero chance. Zero chance. I'm not preaching a Calvinistic message saying that you're predestined for this. I'm saying God's calling. You better answer. Don't snicker at the grace of God and saying, hey, he's a God of love. He's a God of only love. And if I come to him whenever, God's going to accept me. Nay. Today. Now. Now, in Romans, over and over and over, Hebrews chapter number 3, the Bible talks about today. Hebrews chapter 3, let me read you verse 7, 8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. He says today. Verse 15, he says it again. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's the devil's word. Because the devil knows that you might end up like that guy. The captive. Tomorrow never came for him. Tomorrow he didn't have a chance. And you say, tomorrow I'll do it. And when tomorrow comes and you say, okay, I'm ready, the door shut. The door to grace is shut. I don't know how many of those people that were there in Noah's time almost believed, almost got on the ark. I don't know. Maybe none of them. Maybe all of them just snickered and mocked. And when the judgment came, they said, uh-oh, I made a mistake. But there could have been. There could have been someone who says, you know what? Hey, tomorrow let's go get on the ark. When they walked to that ark, the door was shut. Hey, what happened? Door shut. The invitation is no more. It's not open anymore. Doesn't matter how bad you want it. Doesn't matter how bad you plead and beg at that time, the door shut. That man in the dungeon could have pleaded and begged and done whatever else, but he couldn't obey what God told him to do. Because God says, unless I see that blood on your door, judgment's going to come. So his son or daughter, the firstborn, perished. And he didn't have a chance. And it's a picture. We know what this is talking about. And we know this is a picture of our life. And when God sees the blood of his son, his precious son, that's been applied, I thank God that when I go to stand before the judgment seat, I'm not going with works that I've done. I'm not going and saying, hey, you got to let me in because look what I did here and this and that. Look what I did. Nothing but the blood I plead. Nothing. Nothing. The blood was applied, and because of that, God's grace was extended to me, and my sins were forgiven and I'm saved. Because when I felt that call, when I felt the drawing of God, I said, yes. Please, God. And today, somebody, I don't know who, again, I know God gave me this message. Somebody. God's saying, today. Today. There might not be a tomorrow. There might not be another chance. And if you've said it over and over, I believe it and I'll do it later. I was close. How many people are going to stand before the judgment, great white throne of God and say, I was close? King Agrippa, almost thou persuadest me to believe. I was close. I was close to believing. I was close to going. I was close to stepping on that ark. I was close to accepting Christ's way of salvation. There is no other way. If you think there is, if you think, well, I'll try this or that first. We do that a lot in life, right? You go somewhere and you look at something and say, you know what, let me see if I get a better deal over here. And if not, then what? I'll come back. Right? We do that a lot in life. Not a bad way to live is to be thrifty and say, hey, I'm going to see if I shop around, see if I find a better deal. Going for a car, don't always buy the first one. Say, hey, I'm going to see if someone else will beat your deal. But if you try to do that with God, let me try something else first. Let me see if I can do it on my own. And if not, then I'll accept Christ. And you may find when you come to Christ, the door shut. And you're bound in those chains and you're thinking, why did I get myself here? Why did I get myself here? Where now I have no chance. Now I have no chance. Hope no one in here is in that situation, but there might be someone in here where God's saying, 7 days, one more chance, one more chance. When I give the invitation this morning, don't pass them up. Don't pass them up. There's nothing I can do to save you. Nothing anyone else in here could do to save you. Jesus Christ had done it all. All you got to do is accept them. But we're willing to help you. We're willing to show you from the scripture. We're willing to take some time in the Bible and answer questions you may have. So if you want to come forward when the invitation's coming and say, hey, can someone help me? Show me from the Bible. There's men and women who would be glad to do that. But don't you walk out that door and say, I'll do it next time. This is a warning from God. There might not be a next time. We don't know if we'll still be here. Next Sunday, this church might be pretty empty because the rapture might have taken place and all the saints of God are gone. And you would have said, well, today was the day I was going to do it. The door shut. Today, let me go back and read that verse one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says, for he has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't bind yourself. Don't spend another day in the bondage of the devil, in the bondage of your sin. Don't wait. Now, as God's saying, come. Come to him. He says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, but you cannot come unless the Father draw you. If he's drawing this morning, come. Come. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. If we'll have a pianist come to play a song of invitation, when the pianist begins to play, you come. If you come to me, I'll have one of our men to take a Bible and show you. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady to take a Bible and show you from the scripture, to deal with you one-on-one in a private room if you like. But you don't have to have that. If God's calling you, you don't have to come to me. You just have to come to God.